First, since the coronavirus pandemic was declared a national emergency in March, the federal government has spent billions of dollars on things like protective equipment and testing supplies. Some of that money, though, was given out on no-bid contracts to companies that were brand new or had never produced medical equipment before. Some have returned faulty supplies, others haven't followed through at all. Ryan Gabrielson is an investigative reporter for ProPublica. He's been reporting on this story. Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Can you give us a sense of the scope and the scramble by the federal government to get this kind of equipment into hospitals fast?
Absolutely. So in the past 3 months, the federal government has spent a little over $16 billion on all manner of urgent supplies, whether it's PPE for hospital workers or for masks, gowns, but also to try to ramp up testing. So all manner of test kits and the supplementary materials that help that system function, from test tubes to swabs, transport media, which is the solution that keeps viruses alive inside the tubes. All of it had to be procured very, very quickly, and they basically had to be secured from nothing. The entire world was, these products were in demand everywhere, from China to Italy, all over Europe. A lot of the places that we manufacture them were holding on to them because they needed them as well, and were shutting down distribution. So the federal government not only desperately needed them, but had to find them from places that they wouldn't normally get them from. And of that $16 billion, approximately $2 billion of it went to first-time federal contractors, some of them very established players who just hadn't worked with the federal government before, but many of them people who had never worked in medical supplies, period.
Yeah, some of those were the focus of your reporting. What were some red flags that stuck out to you about some of these companies that just got into the federal contracting game and didn't have any background in this kind of medical supply market?
The most significant red flags were companies that had only just barely come into existence. I mean, so some of these contracts went to companies that had long existed, that existed for years and just were pivoting into something new. But some of them had only formed a matter of days or weeks in advance and suddenly were bidding on contracts. That was one of the most significant red flags for us. But even just cases where companies that had done something markedly different were now saying, trying to sell masks or gowns, vodka distributors, defense contractors that had advertised themselves as basically arms dealers, in a sense, were now getting into medical supplies. And in some cases, like I said, companies that had not existed in any shape or form beforehand were incorporating days before receiving multi-million dollar contracts.
Let's focus in on one company that you followed called Fill a Kit. They got a contract for what were supposed to be tubes for testing. Can you talk about that company and what it ended up delivering?
Absolutely. So Fill a Kit is one that stood out to us from the very, very beginning. They came into existence, they incorporated in the state of Florida, I believe it was on May 1st. And 7 days, 6 or 7 days later, they received a $10.1 million contract from FEMA to deliver testing supplies, which turned out to be the test tubes, test vials, and the solution that keeps viruses alive inside of it. Essentially 4 million units of that is part of the main federal support thrust to ramp up testing in the states. Fill a Kit has an interesting history. Obviously, it had no history itself because it had only come into existence on May 1st. But when there was no actual person attached to it besides a registered agent who was a lawyer in St. Petersburg, Florida, but the phone number attached to it when I did sort of a reverse lookup, it came up as Paul Wexler. Now, Paul Wexler has a long history. In 2013, he was hit by the FTC for allegedly fraudulent practices and robocalling as part of a credit counseling service that he was running at the time that had been selling services that they did not actually offer and allegedly defrauding all manner of people who were trying to reduce their debt loads. He was, as part of a settlement, hit it with a $2.7 million payment and also was barred from working in credit counseling or debt relief at all.
Now, his company did end up delivering something that was tube-shaped. Can you talk about what they ultimately ended up supplying and how it worked out?
Yes. So they actually started delivering, you know, one of the questions when we got started is well, what's the game here? Because assuming that because they can't get paid unless they actually deliver units, that was sort of the fail-safe in all of this. Was FEMA and the other federal agency says is, look, if we don't get the goods, we're not going to cut the checks. So the taxpayers are protected. Well, in this case, Phillikit started getting paid almost right away because they started delivering something. What that something was so the soda bottles you buy in the store, whether it's a 20-ounce or a 2-liter, those start out as what are called preforms, soda bottle preforms. That are much, much smaller. They're about the size of test tubes that you would use in like high school chemistry, a little bit oversized. And then when they're hooked up to certain machinery, they're expanded out to the size that you see in stores. Phillikit, Phillikit's not the only one using this type of preform for this purpose, but Phillikit was buying millions of these. Which are much, much cheaper than the vials that are normally used for any kind of testing for viruses, and putting in a saline solution to preserve. And they were doing this they were assembling these in a warehouse north of Houston with dozens of employees, some of whom weren't wearing masks. Many of them were not wearing gloves in totally unsanitary conditions, certainly not far less than sterile. And they were producing them in a huge, huge volume. And as soon as they reached FEMA, FEMA says it was checking to make sure that the tubes weren't leaking. And when they weren't leaking, they just shipped them on to all 50 states. And when we were checking with the individual state health departments about what is this that you're receiving and does this work for you guys and does it meet the sterility requirements, the first problem is the state health departments were telling us, well, they don't fit into our lab equipment or the lab equipment of our partners. So, you know, if a sample is put in these tubes, you can't then put the tubes into the testing equipment to be analyzed to determine whether or not the virus is there or not. Beyond that, the fact that they were being assembled in hugely unsanitary conditions with people breathing into the tubes, the solution inside being left in the open air, the tubes falling on the ground and just being picked up and tossed back in, nothing being secured or kept clean or cleaned after the fact. And it's just reaching states and they don't even know what this is supposed to be or whether it's clean.
We'll have to leave it with that taste of your reporting. Ryan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ryan Gabrielson. He's an investigative reporter for ProPublica, talking with us about his work looking into government contracts being given out for protective equipment and testing supplies during the COVID-19 pandemic. Check out his and his colleagues' reporting at ProPublica.